Woo! Those were some awesome translations, some wisdom that came from our youth. It was quite impressive when I read them, and I wanted to share their wisdom, their translation of 1 Corinthians with all of you. I began to think about the wisdom, about wisdom and how I would define wisdom, what it meant to me. And I think what I came up with is this, that wisdom is the tiny little precious feelings that reside in my gut and in my heart that then become the priorities of my faith. They become those things that guide me in my faith life. And they're not things of the scholarly mind or intellect all the way. They're the tiny, precious things that I hold close to myself that come after a life well-lived or that is passed down from my ancestors. And so I thought of that phrase, pearls of wisdom, right? We've heard that phrase multiple times, pearls of wisdom. So then I thought, what is so important about the pearl, right? And I learned that the pearl is the only gem that is found within a living object. So pearls are not rocks, they're not stones like all of the other gems. They are these special precious gems that are found within the caverns of a mollusk, right? Deep within waters, deep within salt waters, deep within fresh waters. And the freshwater pearls are often all different shapes and sizes. And then we have the sea salt pearls that are these perfectly round circles. And in the ancient world, they became so sacred because those circles replicated the moon and the sun and Venus. And that was their guiding symbol. And so it isn't lost on me that this weekend we have several members of this congregation who have gone to see the eclipse. You know, when the moon moons the sun, right? And it becomes completely dark for a minute. And then out of that, there is new life. Right? Just like Easter. There are many legends about the pearls. One of the legends is in the ancient world, you would put those pearls on the eyes or in the mouth when someone died, and the pearl would be good luck and prosperity in the afterlife. There's also this legend that Eve cried in the Garden of Eden of shame and despair, and those tears turned to pearls, and then they went back to the earth. And then there's this tradition that you get pearls on your wedding day, which I didn't know the significance of this until this week, actually. And my grandma gave me a pearl ring that was hers. So I have this symbol. Sorry, Grandma, I did not know how great that was. I have this symbol of prosperity and good luck from her marriage passed on to me. So pearls are these important gems that to me are like those wisdoms that live deep in your gut and in your soul and in your heart. And so I began to think about last week, Holy Week, right? This concentrated moment when Jesus teaches us all of these lessons right within 7 days. And we start off with Palm Sunday, and he puts himself out there. He risks himself with this parade saying, I am a religious reformer. It was hard and difficult and risky, and he did it because he did it for his community, to serve his community. And then we go into Holy Monday. And that's the day that he goes into the temple with rage and passion. And he turns over those tables again. He publicly puts himself out there. He risks himself. And he does it for his community in service to his community. And then on Holy Tuesday, he sits with his closest leaders and he talks to them about belief and faith. He takes the time to do that, to serve them, to be in community. And then we don't know what happened on Holy Wednesday. I guess he took a break, but there's no mention of that. And then on Holy Thursday, we know what happened. We know what happened on Holy Thursday when he meets with his closest people in the upper room to break bread together, to have a meal together. But before that, he insists on washing their feet. And we think washing feet today is gross, right? But imagine what it's like in the ancient world when they don't have shoes like we have, when they don't have medical care like we have. So him getting on the ground and washing the broken, diseased, cracked, deserted feet was an act, a revolutionary, radical act of service to his community. And then all along the way on Friday, as he journeyed towards that cross, he talked with his community, story and conversation after story and conversation, even though he was in so much pain. Jesus had priorities, and it was clear. He had these pearls of wisdom, feelings in his gut and in his heart and his soul that he not only shared with his community, but that he behaved in the way that the wisdom taught him to behave. And so I began to think about my own pearls of wisdom. One of them is trust your gut, trust your gut, trust your gut. You've got this. Trust it. Have confidence. It always is right. The other is make the best choices you can make today. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but right now, make the best choices you can make. Love and relationship are always at the center. You always can get back on the horse. You fall off, you can always get back on. No one owes you anything in life. Those are some of mine. I want you to take a few moments now. I gave you all a little slip of paper with a pearl on it. Did you all get that? And I want you to write your pearls of wisdom on that paper. And I want to be able to share it. So you don't have to put your name on it. But when you come up for communion, I want you to put it in the bowls. I didn't tell the deacons. You're going to have to collect all those for me, by the way. Because I want to be able to share those pearls of wisdom in community together. So I want you to take a minute or two to do that. The word hysterical, the root word of that is hyster, H-Y-S-T-E-R. And hyster in Greek means womb. But back in the day, people who had wombs were often diagnosed with hysteria, and it was not a good thing. But what is ironic to me is that the womb, it is a place of hardship and messiness and difficulty and crazy emotions sometimes, but it is also a place where there is deep, abiding transformation and above all, a possibility for brand new life. And so it made me think of activist and scholar and author Valerie Kaur, who is a Sikh. She is not a Christian. And she wrote the book, See No Stranger, that was published in 2020. And she started the Revolutionary Love Project. And she's coming to CSU on April 16th, by the way. And I am going to go see her for the first time. She is amazing. And one of her quotes in this book goes like this. in this darkness of this time. Perhaps it's not the darkness of the tomb, but the darkness of the womb. All of the sudden, Jesus's death and resurrection transforms from this deeply sad moment to great hope and possibilities in a new life. Because this darkness of this time, this darkness of wars, this darkness of divides, this darkness of this interesting year in politics, this darkness in our own lives, the illnesses and the frustrations of maybe your own family life. Maybe this darkness is the darkness of a womb, not a tomb. It was a whole mind-blowing thing for me when I read that quote. Those itty-bitty gems that reside in your gut and your heart are the pearls of wisdom in the darkness that are transforming, and they become the priorities of your faith life. Last summer, we went to go see Barbie, the movie. You knew I was going to preach on it at some point, right? I was just waiting for the right moment and sort of the right connection. But we were new to Fort Collins, and we wanted to go to the drive-thru because, honestly, that kind of movie really isn't my kind of movie, just, you know, the whole thing. I mean, first of all, I didn't even actually play with Barbies, although if they made a clergy Barbie, I want it, so let's get that going. We decided to take Nina and her friend. Of course, she went in her own car, and Roger and I went in our car. And because, you know, doing a drive-in with us was not the best thing in the world. Before I went to the movie, though, I actually watched the documentary on Mattel, and I watched the whole story of that company from the rise, the goodness, the amazement of that product, to the downfall, to the dark, hard, transforming part, to the rise again. And that was more interesting for me because I wanted to hear about the real life people. And it was helpful going into that movie as to have that sort of background story. Barbie, this movie has lots of different messages. But one of the messages that I like the most is Barbie, in her calling for a new life, had to have a lot of conversations with her creator as the product of her creator, I should say. She had to have lots of conversations. And this happens multiple different times throughout the movie that Barbie goes to have conversations with her creator. So she starts off with, you know, normal Barbie, you know, that quote, Barbie has a good day every single day. And she has this really shallow relationship with Ken. And then all of a sudden she starts to have these feelings. Something's not quite right. She feels it in her gut and her heart. And so she decides to go to the human world. And after having multiple conversations with her creator and meeting the child that plays with her, she ends up deciding that she wants to be a part of the meaning-making people. And we don't know what Barbie's calling ends up being because, you know, it can be many things. It could be a clergy person. It could be a teacher. It can be a musician. We don't know what she ends up doing, but she does make the choice out of such difficulty to be a part of that meaning-making people. And so I wanted to think about that moment when those women came to the tomb, when the disciples showed up, and the despair and the hardness and the darkness of that tomb because Jesus had left. And did they stop And they think, okay, this, let's take the wisdom that Jesus taught us. Let's take our own wisdom in intersection with Jesus's wisdom. Let's take those feelings deep in our heart and our gut, those pearls of wisdom that will guide us too in our faith life. Amen.